From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
What?
We're on air.
Hello, what's up, everyone on the internet?
What's up, internet?
It's me.
It's you.
A guy.
And me.
On
today's going to be a spicy show, man.
Do you think so?
Sure.
Do you predict? I feel like you predict that every week.
No, this one's going to be really spicy.
Oh, are you? Is that because you're Mexican and you brought some salsa?
That's racist.
I know.
That's the kind of racism I love.
Yeah.
It's endearing racism.
That's right. We like the racism where it's like...
endearing.
Yeah, it's like, I know what where you come from.
I know where you come from, and I know you like chips and salsa. So yeah. Let's talk about that and how great that is. Dude, I really do love a bean and cheese taco. That's in my blood.
You like a what?
Taco? I love a bean and cheese taco.
Oh.
Yeah.
A bean and cheese burritos are a big thing when I was
bean and cheese burritos are
in California. But I was like, you know, in California.
Yeah, because they have burritos in California, right? That's like a big thing, burritos.
Yeah, burritos.
I've had a California burrito. They put french fries in their burritos. It makes no sense.
They will do that, yeah.
That's weird.
It's not that confusing, actually.
Well, why would you put french fries? Just as filler?
Yeah, like you put rice and beans in a burrito because
no, I don't put filler. Rice in my burrito.
Okay.
It's all filler, dude.
Okay, but beans are not filler.
Beans are not filler. It's a part of the burrito.
I think it's like almost a filler.
Yeah, I grew up eating like meat inside the burrito. It was more meat than anything and some avocado.
That's what I was impressed by when I came and had tacos for the first time in Austin. I was like, this is a beefy
taco. No filler. It's all killer, no filler.
All killer, no filler.
Yeah.
That should be a taco stand.
What did you do this week? How was your week?
I didn't do anything this week, which is great news. And it's usual news.
Yeah.
It's olds.
It's not news.
Yeah. Blood Poet picked up on that it not being news. What else happened?
I feel like you had something go on this week, didn't you?
No. Yeah, that's right. I had my quinceañera and my dad acknowledged me having my period and being a woman.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Gosh, you just go there, don't you? I try to keep this PG-13, man.
Dude.
Having a period not suitable for listeners.
I know, but it's Carl, weird when Keon talks about
sexist.
It. No, it's just
what
weird.
Do you mean?
When you're talking about it, you don't get periods.
Periods are something everyone experiences.
Not this
at some guy. Point or another, right?
Not this guy.
Answer, viewers.
So yeah.
How about you? How was yours, Carr?
It was good. My internet's not loading. It was good.
Betty's has
just been a busy week. I took a day off this week. It was nice. It's nice to take a nice day off.
You had a what?
I said I took a day off this week. It was nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, day off's good. Yeah, you were going pretty hard there for a few days.
It's just really busy right now because South By and stuff like that that's coming up. So
South By is like in 3 months, bro.
It comes pretty fast if you don't pay attention to it. Yeah, but that's pretty much what I've been up to.
Taking a break.
Trying to retweet all this stuff, but
I can't. Getting ready for 3 months from now.
Retweeting. 58 days from now. What was I going to say?
Jackets.
Let's jump into if you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top five stories or the top three stories on the front page of Bitcoin, Stacker.news. And
the opportunity to unsubscribe.
Wumble's picks this week the most popular one was the graphene one. So check that one out. People love talking about graphene or hearing about graphene. And then make sure to don't hit subscribe. People keep subscribing and it's getting pretty ridiculous now. Stop.
Be proactive and unsubscribe.
I would say be proactive.
If this showed up in your YouTube feed, you've made a mistake.
Yeah.
And you'll want to go and check your
settings. It's not a podcast you want to listen to. If you want to, how would I say? Yeah. If you want to have a good day, don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah. If you like your life being good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
is. Don't want to hear, yeah, I would say if you don't want to hear the truth, don't listen to this podcast. It's very much just all alpha. We can't hear you because you're not talking to the microphone. So unless Keon hands over the microphone, which he won't. But he won't.
Yeah.
With all that, we're going to jump into the top five stories of the week. Top three stories of the week.
We used to do the top five.
We used to do the top five, but
yeah,
just got too long and Darth Coin started complaining. Where's mine at? It's right here. It's been a busy day. Doing a lot. All right. The number three top story this week is Caddy Days. Whoa, look at that. This is Caddy Days. This is from Siggy 47. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Siggy tells the story of him being a caddy in, I think, in New York. I don't know. He didn't list, I don't think, the exact place that he was a caddy. I guess they're called loopers, which was new to me, which is kind of fun. I don't know exactly why they're called loopers. I meant to look this up, but I think it either has to do with the fact that they loop a bag of golf clubs on. Yeah, or it's that they do a loop when they do a course of golf. So I don't know. Yes, that's how you might pronounce it if you have a New York accent. He didn't tell us to say that.
This is how you pronounce it.
Pronounce Lupa in New York, but we're in Texas, so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it was really well told, really fun to read. Kind of, it's like Bagger Vance on Stacker News, really. Bagger Vance.
The Will Smith movie?
Yeah. I don't recall it being a good movie, especially at the age I watched it, but it was a movie that had Will Smith in it.
Yeah, I think Tin Cup is probably my favorite golf movie besides Happy Gilmore, the first one.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I've seen Tin Cup.
I was too old for Caddyshack, or too young for Caddyshack, so I missed that one.
Yeah, a little too slapstick, some of that stuff back then, for me.
I would watch it at some point.
But I guess Siggy was just at the end of his tenure as a...
Is that him right there?
Lupa. Yeah, I would guess not. And I would guess there weren't black and white photos like this back then. And it also looks like it has some kind of...
What's that tie? The tie's so short.
...watermark on it. I think that was the style. Or maybe it was just like this tie was tucked in.
Oh, yeah, it looks kind of tucked in.
Yeah.
I like looking at old photos like that.
So Siggy tells the account of his time being a Lupa, and he gambled, and his...
We need to get Janet a mic. Next week you're getting a mic. Because I just hear all this like side chatter, and I'm like, this is good for the podcast.
He had a fun...
She's for the staggers that are not listening to her at home, it's just like every other word that comes out of Keon's mouth, she's just like saying random words. See, there it goes again, right there. We'll get it on the next show. All right, keep going.
His boss, Tony, I guess, was fun, and he was like a bookie of some kind. I think that's what they're called, where he takes bets. And then it ends with him telling the story of him, I think, double bagging it. Is it double looping it? Is double bagging something weird? Is it like inappropriate?
I don't know. You keep...
But you only have one tee.
You started with the period, so I mean, keep going.
Oh, I see. You're stuck there.
Just keep going. Just go for it.
Yeah. He was a caddy for a woman, and it went, you know, it had hilarity in it, where she hated him and fired him.
She fell over and exposed to everyone that she was on her
period. Oh. Yeah, she fell over.
This is so good.
Was wearing a skirt.
We're not getting any of this.
Blame.
I kind of want to stop and just go grab that mic right there for the...
Blame Siggy. Well, she can grab the mic.
Can you grab it? You want to grab it? It's in the orange bag. There's a mic. Yeah, there's a mic in the orange bag. Yeah. Is it in there? It's in the bottom. It's like wrapped. It's basically just a hand mic, like a... I think it's the one that we taped up. Is it in there? Anyways. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, and I didn't know what it was like working on a golf course. It seems really fun. It seems like a good time.
No mic there? No, there's not one in there. No. Okay. All right. I guess I'll get it next week. Dang, that sucks. Unless you want to take over here and I can find it. Okay.
Is it in their key?
I don't know. I can't.
Right inside my.
I don't have X-ray vision.
Okay.
But
it's not there. Oh, it is there. Oh, it's not there. Oh, okay. Dang, that sucks. Anyways.
Cool. Well, yeah, I was going to say it seems fun. It seems like I imagine working at a restaurant is like, sort of, but probably more chill because you're not really working as hard. There's a lot of like standing around. Although it's probably a bit of hard work because you're
carrying heavy bags. Oh, it's in that box. It's in the storage box then. Sorry. I just remembered that right now. If it's not in there. And no, it's been broken. That's a Calvin Klein orange bag. I love that bag. It's my favorite bag. Anyways, Keon, let's go back to this. So Lupa.
Should we really? No, I'm done. I think I'm finished. Is that all they want to say? Every time we come back to it. And
hey, this is what they pay.
It's an opportunity.
This is what the stackers pay for. They pay for this kind of
look somewhere.
It's else. Live, man. We're not.
This is.
We're not pre-recorded.
Another reminder to unsubscribe. We warned you.
Definitely unsubscribe to this. Sorry, Siggy. We ruined your whole post. I didn't read it. It was just too long. But it sounds great from what you told me. I didn't even know this was a thing. Lupus.
I didn't know they called them loopers.
I think it's Lupa. He said Lupa. Like Koopa. Koopa Troopa. Lupa.
Yeah.
The number two top story this week on Stacker News Live is a mathematical theory of payment channel networks. This is from Simple Stacker. He always drops some really good stuff. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so Rene Picard, who's someone who likes to get deeply into theoretical things on the Lightning Network, dropped a new paper. Previously, we had seen them do other work on payment reliability and like algorithms for making payments more reliable. And I think this is an extension of that work where he attempts to, I think, develop a model to suggest the limited feasibility of payments on the Lightning Network and how they're kind of doomed, I guess, to be less reliable than we want them to be. Like we're never going to be able to redistribute all Bitcoin, I think, perfectly on or how we'd want to on the Lightning Network, assuming a relatively static network is kind of my gist of.
Oh, that one's it. Yeah. Cool. Can you
get into one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like probably the fourth.
Yeah, just make sure it has the right way.
Should we live talking there?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you now. Awesome. So now we have a pleb poet.
Now you get to know what
she's saying. Okay, cool. Go for it, Kia.
Oh, I'm going now. Yeah, I also didn't read the paper fully. I mostly skimmed it for conclusions and stuff like that. Whenever I read an academic paper, I'll usually start at the introduction and read the conclusion and then decide whether I want to go deeper into it. So I didn't go much deeper into this one. Simple Stacker does a good job of, I think, of kind of summarizing what might be in the middle, although they admitted that they didn't look into deeply into the model beyond attempting to understand what it was saying conceptually. But the conclusion is that we can't reliably distribute Bitcoin on the Lightning Network, assuming it's like static and doesn't change, because we have there will be sections of the network that that are inaccessible at certain amounts, given the way that channels work, is maybe a decent conclusion. But he has some nice graphs here, and if you like scroll up to the one with two circles on it, the one with two circles, yeah, there we go. But it like it's kind of a. This is like the simplest diagram that you can, or one of the simpler diagrams that you can make of this. But if A tries to pay D more than one Bitcoin, it won't work, basically. Even though the Lightning Network has deployed onto it here 21 units, more than one unit attempting to travel from the left side to the right side will not succeed. This kind of what the paper tries to formalize this arrangement, so that we can maybe draw conclusions at a much larger scale, like the actual Lightning Network. Renee has a few suggestions about how to deal with this, and multi-party channels is kind of the main suggestion that he makes, because within a multi-party channel, the multiple parties in that channel can redistribute coins arbitrarily, so it has less of this effect than a situation where each individual has their own node.
Wasn't that what Super was creating when he made the where basically it was going to be like you were going to go through like one of these nodes, and then the node was going to pay out once you've received, like, how is that working? It was basically you were sending funds to an address that didn't know those funds had landed yet, or something like that.
ZapLocker?
Yeah, wasn't that what he was doing?
No.
No.
That was on the Lightning Network, though, which is the layer that we're
because in
doing.
In this instance, he's talking about if you want to send a full Bitcoin, then you'd have to go through nodes that would have to pay out that full Bitcoin for the receiver address, right? Is that what he's saying here? Is that what you're basically saying?
Yeah, I mean, you can just, if you look at that chart, yeah. If A is trying to send 2 Bitcoin to D, they have a link between them that can only transmit 1 Bitcoin at most. And so you just can't transmit 2 Bitcoin.
What's
from A
the
to
limit,
D.
Though? The limit is like channel capacity? Or
yeah.
Fees.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's the numbers represent the channel capacity. So only one Bitcoin, assuming it's all the liquidity is all on the side of B, only one Bitcoin can travel from A's side of the network to B's side.
I thought that's what he was doing, where he was basically going to just in time liquidity, where he was doing that.
Maybe I'm wrong. No. That ZapLocker is all about receiving payments offline. It has nothing to do with
dealership.
It has nothing to do with UTXO dealership is about miners selling their clean UTXOs.
That one's not.
I just want to name all the super projects I can.
As
far as I know, he hasn't done any work on coin pools and multi-party channels. Yeah, like I think multi-party channels.
Does Super have a project about
another name or an adjacent kind of thing?
Did you read this?
Nick didn't read this.
I'm sad that he doesn't have a PhD, but also that's pretty rad to not have a PhD.
No, I think it was someone brought it up because we were just naming super projects because Super's worked on Lightning before.
I thought that was the same thing, but
and he
not.
Still does.
Hey, I'm here to ask dumb questions. And
no, I'm not, I don't mean to be.
I don't care if
too,
I don't care
too
if
salty,
dumb.
But
this is how we educate people by asking dumb questions.
Super doesn't work on Lightning anymore.
I think I don't know what Super does. I think he
actually
might.
Don't know either.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
I haven't heard from Super in a long time.
So you're saying we can't send more than a Bitcoin if the channel capacity is less than one Bitcoin?
Yeah. The problem is that as you distribute Bitcoin on the Lightning Network, the total capacity of the network can't travel arbitrarily to other parts of the network.
Yeah.
It is limited by the constraints of all of the paths on the network, and it sort of It's sort of counterintuitive, I guess.
So basically just validated everything we already knew about the Lightning Network, right? And its limitations.
It formalized the kind of feeling a lot of people have about Lightning not being able to move all the Bitcoin.
So that's why we need ARC, is what you're saying.
No, that is not because Lightning is meant for small transactions.
Yeah, I don't think this invalidates Lightning's use case. It just isn't a perfect scaling layer for Bitcoin. It's kind of it's not absolutely perfect. It comes with like putting Bitcoin on Lightning, or if we put all Bitcoin on a layer two like Lightning, it would run into this limitation where you can't redistribute it arbitrarily anywhere in the network, like the 21 million Bitcoin arbitrarily in the network, however you want. It would be constrained by these things that are largely out of your control.
Yeah.
Assuming a static network, unless, you know, channels got moved or spliced in or whatever.
Yeah. But it's good to have this like rigorous argument.
Did Optimism look at this post or no?
Yeah, he had a comment that was pretty good.
What did he say here?
I don't think it was that one.
Not that one.
But did I make that up? I thought I...
Yeah, his main concern was about privacy, primarily.
Through the Lightning network? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I recall reading this. I think he was concerned about subnets being identified on Lightning as a result of like a... If we have a section of the network that is easily identified, perhaps we can view like membership changes, and that is bad for the privacy and certain. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that comment. I thought so Simple Stacker ends this post by saying that the next step for the model, he thinks, is to consider that human behavior exists on the Lightning Network and economic incentives exist on the Lightning Network, and that the network is not static.
Cool.
Yeah. So
we can hear you on the mic. I'm just kidding.
Wait, what?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, thank God. Don't tell him what I did.
I was getting a very important message, but I cannot share with anybody.
We heard it all on the mic. I'm just kidding.
No, I held it away.
I'm just kidding. It picks up really well. Cool. Do you have anything else you want to say on this? Q?
No.
Okay. Cool. We're going to jump into the number one story this week. It's called Private Broadcasts of Local Transactins Merged. What's this?
Owned.
Yeah. VD contributed a pull request to Bitcoin Core almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was closed. And then they reopened it. They reopened it again after making some changes, and that one finally got merged. So the second one he linked to in that post was the one that got merged. What this PR does is when you submit a transaction via RPC, send raw transaction, it will open a one-time a brief connection to another peer over an anonymity overlay like Tor or I2P, and then give them their transaction and then close the connection. And the reason you want to do this is because there are, and 0x1BTC has done a number of posts on this, we've covered on this podcast before, but there are nodes on Bitcoin's network that are attempting to listen to transactions as they get created and submitted on the network, which if they have enough nodes on the network and their analysis is good enough, they can basically say that this transaction was initially sent to the network from this node, and this node has these IP addresses, and so you can kind of link a Bitcoin address to an IP address and do some like rough kind of guesses about Bitcoin and where they're located and stuff. Anyway, so this kind of helps you maintain your privacy as you're submitting transactions to the network. And it's a first step. It's, they kept it pretty well scoped where it's just via this RPC that this happens. And I believe it's opt-in. And then I think they plan in the future to, he like lists in the PR a few extensions that have been suggested and they might do, but it seems like a pretty great improvement to Bitcoin privacy for transaction submission. And yeah, just kind of, you know, cool and kind of shows the life cycle of a PR to Bitcoin Core and how many people chimed in and gave opinions and reviewed it and how rigorous it is. I was like impressed. I saw, and I'm just seeing some of the familiar names in the PR chime in. I just thought that was really kind of cool.
Cool.
Pretty neat.
So I guess this means you won't need an Electrum server. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't. Electrum. I believe most people use Electrum servers to not have to run a full node and be able to grab transactions that they might need.
Mm-hmm.
From another node. That is my this is about you submitting a transaction that you create. I'm paying you and I don't want,
oh, this is more from the wallet point of view.
That's from the payer's perspective, or the person, okay, who's constructed a transaction or submitting a, okay, transaction's point of view. So I'm paying you, but I don't want anyone on the network to know that the Bitcoin address I'm spending from belongs to my IP address or my my Onion address. Not my Onion address, but my Onion identity, my Tor identity, my Tor pub key.
Nice. Oh, yeah, this is awesome.
Can I say a little anecdote about onions?
Sure.
I'm reading a book right now, which is called The Brothers Karamazov. And there's this brief little story about how someone who can give up a single onion can earn heaven. So there you go.
There we go. It makes sense. Cool. Did you guys have anything else on this?
No.
No? Okay. Well, that's all the top stories this week on Stacker News Live. We're going to jump into Wumble's picks because Wumble picks really great, spicy topics every week. I can't wait to hear y'all's opinion on this stuff. Especially, did you watch this, Jenna?
It's like I want to be excited about Wumbo's picks, but then I hear you say Wumble and it hurts every time.
Wumble's picks. Wumble's picks. Wumble's.
It really
picks.
Hurts.
All right, we're gonna do Wumble's pick. He had this one here, which was the Sailor talking financial blankety blank on what Bitcoin did. Fireworks promises from Den. 35 comments, 2,114 cents. Keon, what is this post and who is Sailor?
So Michael Sailor runs the world's biggest Bitcoin treasury company, which is to say they are a publicly traded company that sells equity, and with the proceeds they buy Bitcoin with it, and they do that as much as they possibly can, and then they try to get as much debt get into as much debt as possible to buy Bitcoin. And that's who Michael Saylor is.
He was the first to do it, right?
I think he was the first to do it.
He was the first to do it.
And I think in this podcast, he mentions that was the largest publicly known Bitcoin purchase at the time in like 2020 or whatever.
And then everybody knew he had big balls.
What? Yeah.
Because it was public.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw his balls and we were all impressed. And now we buy shares in his balls
and worship him.
Yeah.
Cool. Let me get to Wumble's question. Wumble's question was,
oh my God,
was Sailor giving some tough love to the Bitcoin community, or was this more of an emotional response from Sailor? Let me just play it real quick for the stackers.
And ignorance of people that invest in businesses for a living. Like the venture capitalist literally has a job where he has to invest capital. a digital company that
he basically kind of 30% a year. Gets mad at Danny here.
No.
How would you describe it, Keon? Did you watch this or should I explain it?
Danny just asked how many his question was pretty simple. He asked how many pure play Bitcoin treasury companies can exist with when there's MicroStrategy, which is like way ahead in terms of the pure play strategy and has all of these features basically of their stock, these other share types and vehicles and whatever they add to their treasury company. Like, how are they going to be compete? Like, why would anyone buy another pure play strategy, another pure play Bitcoin treasury company? And he responded to Danny by basically saying Danny was an idiot for even bothering to ask. And that's a stupid question. And it's, you know, where his question implicitly attacks any Bitcoiner who wants to buy Bitcoin, and that Danny is a representative of everything that's wrong in the Bitcoin community. And Danny, like all other Bitcoiners, likes to eat as young. And
yeah, he did say that.
Whoa.
Several times.
Whoa.
I thought it was a fair question. He says no. He's like no Bitcoin company is which treasury company is pure play? All treasury companies are different, there are several of them, especially a few of them that followed on in the United States that I was aware of. They were touting that they were going to be a more pure play than Strategy early on, and he's like, well, no, every company does something different, and they, you know, these treasury companies, they're each a different company that has some trade-offs associated with them. But that's pure means pure. It means they're, you know, if I have distilped water, pure H2O, it's undifferentiated from other pure water, other distilled water. So I just don't know.
Was there an actual threat in the question?
No, it was a very, very simple question. All he was trying to say is, all he was trying to do is get him to talk about the reality of there really only needing to be one pure play Bitcoin treasury company. If there's maybe geographic, there's like some geographic advantages. Maybe you have a fund in Brazil that can only buy Brazilian equities, and maybe that makes sense to have a pure play.
Oh, Ted wants to say something.
Ted is a big.
There you go. Here comes Ted to talk about his take on this.
I have two maybe perceptions or possible takes on it. One is that maybe Michael Saylor was taking more issue with the word play than pure. So I think maybe he was reading into play to mean like the sort of moral illegitimacy of the MicroStrategy treasury strategy. And I think he might have been reacting to that more.
Just like defensive and
Very defensive. Mm. And which I do think is like, so he's reacting to maybe a bigger Twitter conversation and then using Danny as a proxy and then taking the pure play out of context. That could be my read on it as to why he would react like this. And then the other answer that he could have given to answer Danny's question is that the derivatives market is like a whatever quadrillion, it's a 4-to-1 ratio. So if you add up all the assets in the world, something like $500 trillion. And if you add up all the derivatives on those assets, it's like 2 quadrillion. So you have a 4-to-1 ratio of derivatives to assets in the world, which is super messed up, shouldn't be like that. But you could argue that the Bitcoin treasury strategy could go after a 2 quadrillion dollar market. So to answer Danny's question of how many more companies like this can the world support, my argument would be it would be $2 quadrillion worth. So an unfathomably large number that breaks everything because you can't have $2 quadrillion absorbed into Bitcoin. That doesn't work. But it can certainly eat that market.
Okay. Great answer. Thank you. Yeah. Do you got any other thoughts? Janet, did you chime in?
Well, I didn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, then this is why you should chime in.
Exactly. I'm going to pull a car and I'm going to say that I think that I thought the question was going to be like shitting on the plebs. So I was about to like,
no,
say be that, like, yes. No,
I didn't say that, then.
But Danny is cool. So shout out Danny. That's it.
Yeah. I think I see it. I see it more like, I think Danny was just doing his job. Obviously he's like, I would consider him more journalist, just like Peter was. So he's asking him the questions everybody wants the answers to, which I did when I saw this. I think Saylor has, he has every right to respond however he wants, but I mean, he's a publicly traded company. You have to answer these questions. So
right,
he needs to figure that out. But I actually thought that he's not a chairman, right? I thought he was just a chairman on the board. Is he the CEO still?
Oh.
Huh?
Finance CEO.
Oh, so he's the CEO of just that. Oh, okay. Well, then I got my facts wrong.
But it seems like consensus from our conversation would say that it was, like Wombo suggested, an emotional response.
Yeah, I would say Wombo's right. It definitely was an emotional response. But that's what you do when you're the CEO. You got to take those questions. And then that looks like his house, too. So he invited him in. It's like, but Danny's just doing his job. That's how I see it. Like,
got to play ball.
If Danny doesn't ask that question, then people aren't going to listen to his podcast. This is why people listen to his podcast, because he's going to ask the tough questions. Me personally,
the three of you.
Oh, okay.
Like on behalf of Saylor, the question would be like, how would you go about assessing the moral legitimacy of the debt Bitcoin strategy? Like that. That's where I feel like this conversation should have gone if they really wanted to address this issue, and like actually just discuss, like, you know, if Saylor didn't react so emotionally, then they could have actually had a really interesting conversation about like, where do you draw the line? For example, me and Nick had a cool conversation about this, which is, you know, like, are you just sort of fooling people if you're issuing them these fiat debt products that are maybe higher return than they get with other derivatives, but you're just using it to buy Bitcoin because you have that information arbitrage, so you know that Bitcoin's better. So in some sense, you're kind of tricking them. But the other person could argue, well, actually that's totally valid because they weren't going to buy Bitcoin alternatively. They were just going to buy a bond from some other company. So really, they were going to buy this from someone. You're not tricking them. They're just, that's their belief. And then we'll see who's right in the long run. So
I got some thoughts on that. I think ultimately, yeah, it's just a tool. So I don't think you can argue there's like a moral thing on it. I also think that Saylor's a smart man, so he knows what he's doing. I do think the preferred stuff is a little bit tricky because, from my understanding, those provide dividends every quarter or something like that based off the research I did before the show. And then the other thing that's going to be interesting is like the MNAV, right? And that's how much Bitcoin is on their balance sheet compared to what the company is actually worth. And apparently this year they're below one or teeter-tottering on the edge of one MNAV. And from the last time they were there, it was in 2021, or no, 22, when there was a bear market. So I actually think that all the other stuff that he's doing, irregardless of the fact, it's just he's almost playing that premium game where he needs to keep doing these. And but I feel like if there's anybody that can pull it off, it's Saylor. I'm not saying that he can't pull it off. I'm just saying it's just going to be very tricky, but he was the one who invented the thing, so I think he'll be fine. But that's my take on it.
Is it immoral?
I don't think you can go into morality. And I've come over to this side over the years because I didn't start off this way. But I think when it comes to like capital markets and stuff like that, I don't think you can do that, because he says it in the interview that he's literally just running a business. It's his job to show value there. And I think if he was a private company, it'd be different, but since he's a public company, he has to do these things.
But that's exactly what people say when they shirk responsibility.
Yeah, it's like
I was just
this
doing
whole
my job.
Market is unethical, and I'm just and because I'm here I have to do unethical things. So yeah, it's but not me,
the money's already broken. Like the money's broken. Like, the we can all agree the money's broken. That's where it's from. Do I like what he's doing? No, because I'm like, it's a zero sum game, Bitcoin, and whoever has the most Bitcoin wins. So I don't like what he's doing, but he's playing the game. Why would you get upset about that?
Well, what about people who the game is a dogfight? Is that their dog is just winning? It just ripped open the other dog.
You're talking about like if we watch a dog fight, like I'm not gonna let that happen in front of me. I'm gonna pull those dogs off. That's like
okay, because you feel like you can do something.
Well, that's a different thing.
I know it's a different thing, but it's related.
it's a different thing.
I think there is an abstract moral principle about debt, but I don't know what it is.
No, I think that's true, because it's a sort of a Cantillon construction, and so yeah. Sailor is
playing the game.
Sailor is taking from the public's coffers or the energy that the government is kind of siphoning off of human beings throughout the economy, and he is pumping it into his own Bitcoin bag.
I would even say like Coinbase is going to benefit from all this more than anybody else, because that's where he holds it, right? Does he hold it just in Coinbase custody?
Yeah, that's kind of playing out things that haven't happened yet. If you assume that Coinbase is going to somehow run off with
it. I'm not saying they're going to run off. I'm saying like it's good business for them, I would say, for Coinbase custody. Because if you got MicroStrategy, who's literally winning the game of Bitcoin out there and looks good for Coinbase, it's, first question is, where are you holding that Bitcoin if I'm invested in that stock, right? At least that's what you should be asking, but maybe they're asking about returns. I don't know. Do you got any thoughts, Ted? That was your question.
I guess the one thought I'll add is I feel like part of this could go back to the principle of libertarianism, where this is the debate, I would argue, between like the Eric Voorhees camp, where they say, hey, look, if people want to buy shitcoins, sell them shitcoins. Doesn't matter if I think it's a shitcoin or not. In fact, it's even better, because then I know that I'm on the winning side of this trade. And I would say like kind of, it's almost like the Trumpian negotiation tactics, where, like you were saying, it's a zero sum game, and it's not like, hey, I'm a business trying to offer you a product that makes your life better. It's not that mentality. It's the, hey, I'm gonna take your shit because you can't defend it mentality, right? So I feel like it's that morality against the morality of like kind of a voluntarist libertarian ethos, which is, you know, if you're doing something against someone's will by tricking them, by selling them something that you have special information that it's not as good as you say it is.
I don't see any difference what Saylor's doing compared to what Elon's doing when he's like grabbing money from, you know, the government and going to space. Literally everybody is doing, including like nonprofits. Like everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
It's not just Saylor. It's just that he's the biggest holder of Bitcoin, and he's an easy target. I'm not defending Saylor. I'm just saying, like, I just think he was being rude to Danny, but Danny was just doing his job.
Yeah.
But totally. He should answer those questions.
He should definitely answer. I mean, I think it's a fascinating answer. Like, I don't know what the answer to this question is, but it sure seems to me like the way the world operates is the rougher version of that world.
Yeah, he was downright, like, assaulting him verbally. It was pretty bad. Like, Danny was just standing there taking it. It kind of sucks to see. Danny's such a great guy.
I think he wanted the interview to go on. But yeah, I think it was Saylor did cross the line where he's calling Danny names.
Yeah, that's what question, which he was is weird. He was treating him like the way he treats Laura Shin, which is probably why he's not invited back on that podcast anymore.
He was treating Danny like Danny was someone who needs him more than he needs Danny. It's kind of, there's like nothing Danny can do.
He even told Danny, like, you're not going to have as much Bitcoin as me. It was kind of strange. But
so I mean, kind of like Trump.
I don't know.
We do live in a Trump world now.
And we live in a Trump world.
Man, this got spicy.
I mean, that's just a fact.
That was Wumble's picks. Stay tuned next week for what Wumble picks.
Wumbo, appreciate you, and I know how to say your name.
Yeah, I would not have picked this one, but since Wumble picked it, we can talk about it. The next one I want to talk about is Plebdales, Austin. Ooh. Pleb Poet, how long did it take him to do this, and how frustrated were you when he built this?
No, but that's why Pleb Lab is so beautiful, because he gets to come here and do the frustrating stuff. And I don't even know about it. I live in pure bliss.
Yeah.
It took him a long time, but it's not. So this is a teaser. It's not totally finished yet. He's still finishing it up. So you're going to see him over here.
Apparently it's this still weekend. Working right there.
Yeah. There's probably an AI in front of us crunching some type of.
Yeah, he said it was, so we can't hit that thing right there.
Okay, but I think he hasn't talked about it much, so like just putting this out is kind of the first wave of like letting people know what he's been working on.
It's amazing how fast he can code. Look at this. I've never seen somebody code this fast. Keon, do you code that fast?
No.
Well, this is sped up footage.
I was just like, man, this guy's he drank my Red Bull today.
Wow. Do you also fall for AI videos?
I fall for this.
Right. I made this little video though. I put this together.
Oh wow. Nice video.
Thank you. And yeah, I think if you are someone who wants to vibe code, this is like the vibe coders
the big question everybody wants to ask
like toolkit.
Are you gonna do this course? Because I know you're
No, I don't use the AI stuff really.
So this is even though your husband is making this course, you're not gonna supportive.
I mean, there's no, I don't have any apps that I want to like, there's no reason for me to. I don't do that.
What about a gardening app?
I don't, it's not interesting to me.
What if you could just go to your plants and just take a picture of it and then keep
track of it? I shouldn't say it's not interesting. It's interesting to me, but I just want to make stuff with my hands.
What if you could download your whole brain and then just mix poetry anytime you want by pushing a button?
But that's why my brain is in my head, because I can do it that way.
No, but you can use your brain to play video games.
I do like to play video games.
Yeah.
But only like two.
Awesome. Well, that should be coming out here soon. Stay tuned. The next one I wanted to bring up was this one. This one's kind of spicy, but it's called Struggling to See the Value Prop of Maple AI. So, Keon, did you read this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy basically goes in there and he basically asks about what the trade-offs are compared to OpenAI or just using Maple AI. So much so where he even like starts saying it's not worth it. And then Optimism jumps in there. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
He says, if privacy is such an issue, should you not just spin up your own LLM locally? And if you take the PlebDevs course, you will learn exactly how to do that.
There you go. Yeah, what do you think about this? Do you think this is a fair thing to say?
No. I mean, I think it's a fair question. I think if someone has the ability to run a local LLM, they should ask themselves whether they should pay for someone else to run it and, you know, review that software that claims it's private and confidential. And yeah, what you know, that they should think about this. But I think for the average person, it's more likely that they don't feel like they're capable or they don't have the time or money, but like up the they can't afford to buy the machine that they would need to run a comparable model locally. And so they might still want to use private AI, and Maple AI provides a way for them to do that. I think there are a number of other providers that are cropping up that also do something similar. I think the main, and then I think I responded to that effect in the thread here, and then the OP responded with, the problem is it's censored. He's like, okay, I get the privacy argument, but when I run a local LLM, I can run a uncensored one. And as far as I know, I don't know. I haven't talked to the founders in a while, but as far as I know, that's not like I don't think they're a pro AI censorship thing. Maybe they might feel a little uncomfortable about running an AI that can teach you how to make a bomb or something. And maybe that's why they run a censored model. But
I got this question when we went to Round Rock. Somebody had asked me, I won't say who, but somebody had asked me about Maple and stuff like that. And I said, I'm not using it yet, but you know, I believe in Tony and I believe in Marks. And I think those guys are really smart. I wouldn't want to use any other product if that's the path I chose. But just for my day-to-day, I feel like the stuff that I use, it's fine. I do think, though, if it ever gets to a point to where, like, some of these other models start doing ads and stuff like that, I'll switch automatically. But I'm not there yet, and they haven't done that yet. But I know that's coming. That's where I would say where I fall.
Okay, so when ads come on to OpenAI, then you're going to switch away? Because the
I think once it starts getting, if it's not like, you remember when Google had like ads in the beginning and it was actually good ads? Or mm-hmm. even like some of the YouTube stuff, you'll see like it's like good stuff. If it ever gets to a point where it's just like completely just garbage and it feels invasive and that sort of thing, I can see myself moving immediately. But right now I don't have that problem because I'm not using it for anything that's personal, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think if the line is ads, what if you can pay OpenAI to not show you ads? Then what's
I would the, still no probably reason? I would still probably move off
because
because I don't want to pay for that. I'd rather pay for my friend's product and use his.
What if the experience you get from your friend's product is like lags by maybe 3 to 6 months behind?
Yeah, but that's gonna eventually we'll get to a point where it'll be like an equilibrium where we'll just everything will be just good, like or great. Like remember when search, like after a certain point, like search was just search.
Yeah, everyone could.
Yeah,
it's basically when the PageRank went out of
bat. So I think it's kind of like that. I think that'll just kind of, and then at that point you're just picking where you wanna, you know, what you wanna leverage. So, but I mean, if you ask everybody in here, everybody uses different models. And multiple models at that. So we might even be getting to a place where it's just like a multi-model world, right?
I think Maple AI is one that gets used in the AI course too.
Yeah. I heard him talking about it. Yeah. So.
Also, is that true? The very last sentence there, are the Maple guys around here?
What does that mean?
They used to post.
Right.
I don't think they do anymore.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah, but.
I think you can find them.
Yeah, but they're always lurking.
Primal. I doubt they're lurking.
Anyways, you got anything else?
No.
Okay, cool. But no, we had Marks on Stacker News Live last year. I don't know if you remember, during South By.
I do remember Marks on. Sure.
Cool.
Do you mind if we just cover the zine really fast? Because then I'm
going to go. Leave.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Jeez. Since I have a microphone, I might as well just direct.
I mean, this is what I do. The neatest zine bringing you the Bitcoin heat. Seriously? This is number 42. Plepo, what's this?
Yes, Stacker News zine. That's it. It's number 42. There's
that right there.
It's a Darth coin, and he's going to choke you if you don't buy chocolates.
Is that his ad?
Yeah, he bought an ad.
With credits?
Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't say that because he didn't want to put his name on it, but... Sorry about that, but buy Oshiga chocolates.
Why did you make Darth Vader green?
I didn't do that. That's the ad. The classifieds are not me. The classifieds are.
So that's his color that he chose. It was green for Darth Vader's shoulders.
Okay, so that's the technicality where really that was like the flash on the camera that I used to take this photo.
Oh.
A little bit.
Somebody hasn't watched Star Wars. Okay, cool.
No, he. Okay, anyway. That's it, and you can have it if you want it. Go and purchase it there at that link, and then you can also subscribe.
Did you make a black hat?
No, that's called editing without AI.
Oh, that's cool. I like the black Stacker News hat.
Cowboy. I know, it looks kind of cool because you can't see the eyes.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Is Sammy still alive back there?
He's alive.
Yeah, I mean.
Sammy's got a job now. He's keeping the plants alive.
Wow. It's amazing.
Miss that guy. What else can we say about the zine, Keon?
Yeah.
What else can I say about the zine? Oh, do I have?
Oh, like, so it's not green. It's just green on my screen.
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize.
Perhaps because it was printed on yellow.
It was printed on yellow.
I don't have much to say in the zine. There's a few things where you could read between the lines about things that Pleb Poet says that might be fun, but I probably wouldn't have detected them had she not told me, so you probably missed them. But if you're a deep stacker and you've been reading all the posts on Stacker News,
yeah,
you might kind of infer some stuff.
We like to have fun.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. What are we going to get? A Janice pick?
Yeah,
and
maybe.
The zine.
Yeah. You know, I pretty much do that. I guess actually this time it was Jason B's post that was my pick.
Which one's that?
The very last one.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. He made a Pac-Man where the level kind of changes. It's like,
dude, I want to play that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that looks like fun. He's always got new little games to play, pretty much.
Cool. He is an original pleb dev, I believe.
He is an original pleb dev. He mentioned that there.
One of the perks. Click on it.
Okay. No, because it's just a PDF.
Yeah, it's real car.
Okay. Well, check it out, Stackers. It's online now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenna. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Goodbye.
Mic drop.
Should I unplug it?
Drop it. No, you can just put it right there. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to do a mic drop, but that works. Keon, let's jump into your picks. Tether, fun, unbelievable details. What is this?
Yeah, this is part four of Scoresby's
Quattro.
Tether timeline, which gets into the FTX situation.
Yeah, I didn't know they had bought an FTX. That was news to me.
They had bought in?
Didn't they buy their adjacent company? Isn't that what he put in here?
They bought an adjacent company. I don't recall.
I'll find it.
I think the big FTX Tether connection is primarily that
Alameda. Here it goes.
FTX and Alameda were one of two of the biggest holders of Tether that existed. Both. Cumberland Mining, which is a Chicago-based trading firm, and FTX and Alameda, they held the majority of Tethers during this time period before FTX blew up. There's scores interspersed throughout the section of FTX and Alameda. There are chat messages that got released as part of the FTX hearings.
Scoresby find all this.
Scoresby does serious deep dives into this stuff, but all of it's public information. These Telegram chats were part of the, I forget what it's called, but the documents that were released during the Sam Bankman-Fried trial. So yeah, so like their Telegram chat is known, and it has conversations between the CEO of Tether, the CEO of the bank that does all of Tether's fiat banking that was based in the Caribbean, like FTX was based in the Caribbean. And
it's gonna be a good Netflix series. Can't wait.
Yeah, Scoresby plans to write it into a narrative once he's done with all of the
research. Oh, really? He's going to write a book about it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a book, but he's going to write about it. He's going to write it in a way where it's not just a list, listed out like this. It's going to have more.
It's going to have a story.
Yeah, it'll have a.
Dude, Scoresby might be making the next Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah, I think I don't. What are some of the other cool things that happened? The CEO, the then CEO around the FTX stuff, I think either CEO or co-CEO of Deltek Bank, which is the bank in the Caribbean that Tether banked with, they were one of the co-creators of Inspector Gadget, the cartoon, and they're from France. I think they were part of a children's entertainment company. I think they opened an amusement park in France that was very expensive and over budget, and then released early to really poor reviews, and I think shut down within a week because it was just so bad.
He should totally write the book for this. I think it'll really take off, I think.
Yeah, so Cumberland Mining is really interesting. The guy who started Cumberland Mining at the Chicago-based trading firm, Scoresby found a video of him basically saying, "I'm an anarchist. Yes, I'm an anarchist. That's why I'm into Bitcoin." He got into mining Bitcoin, I think, back in 2011 or something. But he's like a, you know, a suit and tie guy working at a trading firm in Chicago, and is an anarchist who's a Bitcoiner and started, you know, one of the companies that that at one point held a large portion of Tether's.
I think it just kind of goes to show, I mean, this is the last one, right, that he's doing? This is the final one. Oh, there's one more.
No, yeah, this just goes, I think there'll probably be one more on their, you know, the last 4 years or so. This kind of ends at
23 or something, or what does this end?
This ends at Celsius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Who had a $1 billion loan of Tether's at some point.
Well, this is, I think once it gets into, like, you know, into a book, I think that'll be a definitely bestseller. But it also goes to show, like, to get to where Tether's at right now, I mean, there are so many winding roads there. And it kind of shows, like, you know, in order to dominate the world like that with your stable coin, they had to do a lot of stuff. So I'm sure there's lessons here.
Yeah, it seems like Tether's strategy, if there is a strategy, and they're not just intuitive and, you know, came to run this market because of pure luck, it seems to be grow faster than the people who are trying to regulate you can catch you. It was like grow faster and become as powerful as soon as possible so that you begin to write the regulations and can stop what might otherwise shut you.
I really do think this is the dawning of the next Federal Reserve. This to me seems like the new dawning of that. The creature from Jekyll Island. It reminds me of that. It still does. Even like over here, like, it just has so many different layers to this. It's going to be a great miniseries. I can't wait. It'll probably like take decades though, but cool stuff, man. Any other things you want to share on this?
No.
No. Cool. Let me go back. That was the Tether one. Oh, wow. That was the Tether one. And then your other pick was I paid my hairdresser. I didn't know you had a hairdresser, Keon.
Oh, thanks, Carr. Yeah, I have three of them. I used, yeah, several for my quinceañera.
Have you ever used a hairdresser before?
I used to go to a hairdresser to cut my hair.
Not like a barbershop, a hairdresser, though.
Yeah, I would go to a lady.
Do your hair?
When I lived in California at one point. She would cut my hair, yeah. I wouldn't. I would never comb my hair. But I, for whatever reason, I felt more comfortable going to a lady because I think I was taken to a lady when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And a lady would do my hair. So I never, the barbers always seemed like they had an idea about what a man's haircut should be in a way that I did not like, you know? They wanted to be like buzzed on the sides and we're all soldiers, right?
I would say like when I had, I never went to a hairdresser, but there was a lady that used to cut my hair. She cut it so great. But now when I do get a haircut, because I cut my own hair, but now when I do get a haircut, if I do, it's usually by a guy, but I don't have that same kind of, I don't get that same kind of like what you're talking about. It's much more comfortable to get one from a lady, I would say, but I have gotten it from a guy, but it's like, doesn't have that comfortability.
Yeah. And yeah, we all got one from a guy one time, you know?
Whoa. All right. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. So Anon came by and shared how they paid their hairdresser in Bitcoin. And so Anon is apparently fairly well skilled with Lightning. They say they're running cubes, LND on cubes and using Tor. And so they're using Lightning in a self-sovereign way, spending Bitcoin in a self-sovereign way. But they had been to this hairdresser for a while who accepts payments via Square. Mm-hmm. And they were able to get the hairdresser onboarded onto receiving Bitcoin payments as fiat, basically. And so they describe the flow that they went through to be able to pay with Bitcoin. And they said it went pretty smoothly. And they were, you know, and it it seemed like not a big deal, maybe to the hairdresser, maybe it was a little annoying, but they're like, they were in awe, or they spent the time to not take for granted how much work went into making this sort of meaningless Bitcoin payment. Mm-hmm. And this Bitcoin payment that seemed like it's not a big deal. Like how long it took to get just to this point where it's not full of entirely full of complete headaches getting, being able to pay someone Bitcoin. And then also, you know, coming to terms with it not being super satisfying either. Because the hairdresser doesn't really understand the value of Bitcoin and why this matters. And you know, they're KYC'd and it's custodial. And, you know, what hopes do we have maybe that they're, you know, they're running a node in their closet someday. And so it's kind of a nice, a nice journey.
Cool. Well, I don't really have any thoughts on this, but yeah, keep doing it. Keep orange pilling your local business is. The next one we got is my post. The first one I wanted to share was the the time to build winners. Keon, did you see this?
I did see this. Yes, I was a judge.
One of the partners were Tether. Look at that. They're doing good.
Yeah, I hear they have their thing.
Look, even Plublat was a partner for this thing. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty awesome. I didn't know
even Geyser.
You had partners. Did you guys go out?
Even Draper Labs too was a partner.
How do partners happen? Do you?
It's through a partnership, Keon. Turns out.
Oh. Anyways. Like a hinge for.
All right, let's keep going. so this was what Breeze started last year when we did the Yucatan. We kicked off the event over there in the Yucatan, and then simultaneously. It was happening in like 50 other developer communities around the world. It was pretty amazing, man. Like to see how they were able to just launch this one thing everywhere all at once. I mean, hats off to Danny and that whole Brace team. Like such a incredible thing to see, just to witness it from the side and cheer them on and stuff. And then, so yeah, let's get into the winners. The winners, the first one was Team A Aljays. They won for implementing a plugin for BTC Pay Server. And then the next one was Brianna, Andre, and Aaliyah. They won for Ubuntu. They implemented Spark, I believe. So now you can run Spark.
Breeze
SDK, yeah. With Spark, yeah. So you can run that, which is cool. Now you can take payments. The other one was Portal. Portal did this really cool thing where they integrated Breeze SDK into Portal.
Which is a hardware wallet and a mobile app, right? Oh.
And then the next one was from Daniel. He implemented Lightning directly into the Primal web app. I was actually just talking to him before the show.
Daniel?
I was talking to him before the show. We're going over all the stuff that he's building. So, yeah, and then there's 1,000 special prize winners from a lot of different places. I think the coolest thing about this is just seeing all the different types of projects. A lot of it definitely feels like it's moving more in a direction of like none of them, like this is more just me, like none of them outside of Daniel's feel social in the sense where it's just another social wallet attachment. It's this all feels like actual stuff that's getting built out, you know, whether it's like OBS plugins or whether it's like Ubuntu or that kind of thing. So it was great to see that. Cool. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then Draper, you got Lib to Satoshi. And then we have Sparky Home. So that's going to be one of the companies or projects that we'll be having inside of Startup School later this year. So congrats to the winners. Anything here, Kian? Do you want to say?
No, I don't think I have much to say. I'm curious how all the Spark stuff shakes out. And it's interesting to see Breeze working with them. And are we in a state chain future?
It appears that's where we're headed.
I don't know how long that lasts.
Sure, I mean there's always iteration. It's this place moves fast, right? You know, a few years ago no one was even using Liquid, so And then now everybody's using Liquid.
Well, this has nothing to do with Liquid.
But you know what I mean? Like, as far as the ecosystem, the technology moves fast. Technologies move fast.
Yeah. And then we switch away from those technologies when the trade-offs manifest, that's what I'm mostly talking about. Is it's not clear to me when the trade-off, like when and how the trade-offs of state chains will manifest. And so that's why I think it's worth thinking about at least. Yeah.
Well, keep thinking about it.
Thanks.
People will keep building. The next one I wanted to share was Explain It Like I'm 5 Spark. This was created from Roy. So Roy wrote this out, and he kind of explained it in like this two-piece puzzle way, where he talks about Bob and Alice and kind of goes to that whole Lightning wallet explanation of how payments work. But I think that the interesting thing is he didn't use the word federation nowhere in here, which I thought that's what Spark's underlying thing was. I could be wrong. Here goes. He's talking about state chains. But I don't know. What did you think? Did you see this? What did you think about it? He even had, I believe David Marcus even retweeted this too as well.
I would believe he retweeted it. I did not read it.
Okay. And yeah, check it out, Stackers. That was a good one. And then finally, the last one I wanted to share was Project 11. So speaking of Quantum, everybody loves it. Scoresby posted this a day ago. Basically, it was just talking about the, the whole Nick Carter Quantum stuff that was going over the holidays. And just pointing out that Project 11, which is working on the quantum threat against Bitcoin, had raised $20 million from Castle Island. So, did you see this?
I did see the post. I lost interest in Nick Carter around the time his star really began rising.
Is that before he touched your bola or after?
I think that was before. Well, yeah, the when he touched my bolo, that kind of reignited our romance, but we've since become
anyways.
Not close.
But yeah, I've talked to the CEO of Project 11 on early days, so if you're interested, check that out. I feel like I asked him some tough questions.
I didn't know you had him on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was A16Z. He used to work at A16Z.
Oh.
And then that's when he moved over to this.
Who was the founder?
Oh, gosh. I forget. I talked to so many people. I forget. I want to say Alex. Say Alex sounds about right.
Is he from the United States?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, that's all the stories that we have this week on Snacker News Live. We're going to jump into the most popular segment in Bitcoin, the top cowboys. Let's go here. Woo doggy. Get on down to the cowboys. It's not here. It's in here. Boom.
Oh, cowboys.
We got one stacker in hiding. Everybody knows who that is. And we got Coop, Undisciplined, Blockchain Boob, Gray Ruby, we got our Satoshi, Crypto Sensei, Optimism, Scoresby, OT, Public Enemy, Simple Stacker, Mumble, End of the Mic, Still Stacking, 117, Kefford, CLR, Den, Ermin, Winter Weddy, Yeti, Weddy, Billy the Kid, R.D. Clark. Keon, do you see anything here that's changing?
As far as I know, nothing's changed, but it probably has, and I just can't tell because it's...
We got Shocknet. I got Sox. What is Sox building these days?
Sox is working on the editor. We're pretty much done with all the buggy... and we're moving on to releasing the actual things that people will be like, yay. So that should be fun.
Got Real Bitcoin Doggy. We got Nout, Oscar, Coins Reporter. Who else do we got? Plut Poet 79. Dang, she beat me by one. Look, I'm 80. She's 79. Good thing she's not here. Shoot it through that in my face. Cool. That's what we got. Top Cowboys, Keon.
Yeah.
Gideon up.
Have you ever rode a horse before?
I think so, yeah. I believe when I was a kid.
Okay. Like a donkey or a real horse?
What do you mean, donkey?
Well, there's like
I've ridden a horse.
Okay, you've ridden a real horse.
I believe so. I've ridden a camel too. When I was a kid.
Well, you said you believe so. So it could have been a donkey.
I don't remember. I was a kid.
Could have been
a donkey. I don't have the best memory. You know this. The stackers know this car doesn't have a good memory. Come on, Coop. We got comments from YouTube. This guy from Elite Savior, he says, Linux phones is the solution. If everyone switches to Linux, we have freedom. SteamOS, all sectors of devices. When users move, it forces development of apps. Maybe normalize two phones. That's a gateway system. Do you agree or disagree, Keon?
I know you're a two-phone advocate.
I am a two-phone advocate. That wasn't me, though. It's another smart man or woman.
Linux phones is the solution. I just don't know why. I don't know why Linux phones are the solution. I think Linux, you know, if we had a kernel that we liked on mobile that was like Linux.
I think he's saying that because of the end, because Android's getting kind of, you know, it's
I don't know. Does Android run on the Linux kernel?
I mean, just hearing from what the guys talk about, like a lot of it now they're going to start having like app. You have to start like, you know, submitting your apps to the Android ecosystem, App Store. And then there's other things that are happening with their devices now. So I can see why people are more cautious of Android now than ever before, because that wasn't the case. So,
yeah, I just don't know what I thought Android used a Linux kernel, but maybe it's their own kernel. I just don't know what difference it makes.
I would say Elite Savior, I think you're onto something. I think get yourself a surveillance phone and then get yourself a graphene phone. But it sounds like he wants Linux phones instead of a graphene phone. So there you go. Next, we have Vake. Vake said, I have no clue what any of this means, but I know killing is wrong. So there you go. I don't know what that was response to. Vake just says stuff randomly sometimes. Then I got some fountain comments. We got one from Blockchain Boo says, Zap. And then user 222 says, stay in your lane, which we never do because that would be boring for a show. Dion, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't have any plans. I'll probably...
Can you make that face like Sailor? Letter Jimmy?
I don't know what face.
Can you make that face?
I don't think so, because I have a different face.
Can you go like that? The way he is? Like, he's just...
No,
sniping at Danny.
He's sniping at Danny.
Look at that.
I don't feel he's like... He's just put me in the mood for making faces on command, so...
Oh yeah, that's right. You get mad when people say do something on command. I forgot about that.
Yeah, everyone gets mad at that. It's just the people who ask people to do it. They act.
You like especially get mad at it, which is awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Don't speak it to the mic. No, I'm just kidding. You speak it to the mic. Anyways, what do you do this weekend, Keon?
I'm moving out of this little office space.
What are you doing? We love you here.
Oh,
you're trapped.
Yeah, I don't think I have any plans. I'm probably not going to do anything. So that's what I'm.
What are you building this weekend then?
What am I building this weekend? It's just kind of boring. Everything I do is kind of boring. So
really,
yeah, it'll probably be boring stuff. I'm working primarily on onboarding things, and so it's all like these little things that.
So the onboarding flow, the friction.
Yeah, there's like tons of friction that. Just accumulated that we never addressed because we were just working on the wallets for so long. So I'll be doing that stuff and no one cares, especially people who are already using Stacker News don't care because they don't experience it. And so it'll just be, I'm working on that, but
do you keep like a diary for the stuff that you build besides GitHub?
No, not really.
Like a spoken diary?
I don't speak into a diary. Do you?
For building stuff? No, but I definitely journal.
I don't really enjoy. Cool. How about you? What are you doing this weekend?
I'm gonna hang out with my friends tonight.
Normie friends?
Normie friends, yeah. I'm gonna hang out with my friends tonight, normie friends. But that's pretty much it. That's all I'm gonna do.
That's cool. Are you going into the AI stuff that's happening?
No. I'm pretty busy with some other stuff. But It should be fun. I can't wait to see what gets built. Should be good.
Yeah.
All right, Stackers. Oh, actually, let me see if we have any comments. And we do. Oh, Simple Stacker said, looking forward to y'all's opinion on the Sailor fiasco. Dang, well, it got spicy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think it got very spicy. We were just like, how about that Sailor guy, huh?
And then Wobble said, Plopo in the house. There you go. Cool. Stackers, have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Keon. Yeah.